Morning, Chairperson.
Hi, good morning. You're
morning,
telling me
what?
Yeah, I'm using one gadget, so I can't see time from the same screen. So it will be nice to tell me when are we starting. It's exactly 10 o'clock. Are we making a quorum? Are we succeeding with the quorum?
Good morning, Chairperson. It's Llewellyn Brown. I'm standing in for our colleague, Noluthando Skaka, as she has a bereavement. So I currently have this Chairperson, Honorable Ntshabaleng. I have Honorable Luthuli. I have Honorable Gillion. I don't see, unless my colleagues can assist me, those are the only three members I currently see in the meeting, Chairperson. Maybe we should give it a minute or two for members to log in.
Yeah, I think that will be great. And thanks for spending in for Noluthando with the bereavement. We have heard about the bad news. It's so sad, really, losing a sibling. I know what it means. And also welcome Dr. Fester to be the new our researcher for the committee. You are welcome. So we'll wait for that time.
Chairperson?
Hi. Yo, who is that? Your line is so bad.
Honorable Ntshabaleng, Chairperson.
Yes.
We now have a quorum. We have six members present in the meeting. I will hand over to you. Thank you.
No, thanks a lot. Honourable members, good morning. Let me welcome all of you to this meeting, and also take this opportunity to welcome the department, the team that is here. Is the DG, is the minister in? Is there anyone from the ministry?
Good morning, sir. we are in the meeting, Stephen.
Thanks, DM.
Thank you.
I think we should push. We're meeting today. Can we fly the agenda so that we start the meeting properly? Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that's the agenda, honorable members. Are there issues that members would like to add on this agenda? Or if it's in order, is there any move for adoption? Any mover?
Chair Mbulelo Paga, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Baha. Is there any seconder?
No, I second, Chair.
Oh, no, thank you very much. As you know, the purpose of our meeting today is to discuss the budget of the plans of the department and their finances. We are meeting today after a week when the exams are in place. We wish the teachers well in this exam, and of course the management team of the department, because they are the driving force behind the success of this and implementation of this great task of getting the examination, particularly the matric, the final exams of the National Senior Certificate. And we wish all the students well in the exams, and we say to them, good luck. What we're doing during the year, this is the time to assess if you understood what you are learning. Thank you very much. I'll give over to the minister to open the meeting. And are there apologies before we rush into the presentation? We actually need more time to engage, so I'm going to cut my opening remarks that way. Are there apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. We have to date no apologies received as Ms. Skaka, that there has been no apologies from this side. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And to the members, those who don't know, our committee secretary, Ms. Skaka, she has a bereavement in her family. She lost her sister. And I think as a committee, we sent a message to her as individual members and also the whole committee. I think we sent a card to her. And our condolences to her. I'll give to her and the family. I'll give over to the minister, to the ministry, to say some few words, opening remarks, and then and take us through your presentation and the financial statement. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to you. Greetings to the honourable members in the House. Chair, we would like to extend our apology for the minister who is attending the gender-based violence summit that the president has called, and he's there with one DDG, DDG Whittle, who is not in the meeting, but I believe his office is represented. I won't say it's an apology.
Recording in progress.
DG is supposed to be in the meeting. It's just the unfortunate situation that where he is struggling to join because of network. But he will keep on trying and try to get a proper spot that will join. But that will not disturb the presentation, Chair. The presentation will still continue. I want to appreciate that if we can go to our calendar, this serves as the last meeting with the select committee this year, academic year, 2022. And we want to appreciate the good work and the support that we got from the select committee. Chair, as you correctly put it, the examinations have started. We have started with CAT and IT on the 25th and 26th of October. It went very well. We were all crossing our fingers that this electricity storage should not disturb the exams. And indeed, there was no disturbances whatsoever. At least 99.9 students, learners, did right, except some few, there are less than 20, whose computers got crashed, but they were in the exam centers, but we have plans for them that will be writing on the 7th of December 2022. Remember that we don't set one paper. We always have a backup paper. So they will be writing that backup paper on the 7th of December. So the actual examination started on the 1st, which is Monday, where all learners or 99.9% of learners set for the English paper 1, which is English home language and English first additional language. Chair, I can safely say that this went very well under the circumstances. I know that the questions that we get about the writings on ESCOM and this, yes, we engaged ESCOM, we did have engagements and municipalities, because sometimes ESCOM will request municipalities to be the ones that are load shedding on behalf of ESCOM, because ESCOM sell it to municipalities. So, but most of the papers that are remaining, Chair, majority of the papers, they just need natural light. It's a paper and a pen. So we don't foresee any disturbances in the near future as our exams are going on. And we thank the support, of course, of members. Chair, we are here today to present the Department of Basic Education, the National Department, the annual report of the Department of Basic Education from the 1st of April to 31st March 2022. So this is the annual report of the department, not the sector in general, but the department. But because this is National Council of Provinces Select Committee, yes, we did touch here and there on provinces, but this report is the report of the department. We have DDGs here, but we have, if the DG has not yet connected, we have Ms. Nuga Deliwe, who is going to take us through the presentation, and the CFO, who is also in the meeting. So, but all branches of the department are represented in this meeting to be able to respond to questions. Thank you very much, Chair. Can I allow our team to fly to the presentation and start presenting, as you indicated, that would need sufficient time to engage? Ms. Nuka Deliwe?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Unless DG has connected, but if he has not, please take over.
Through you, Chair. Thank you, DM, and thank you, Honorable Shepherd. Chairperson. I'm going to ask the Secretary to flight the presentation. They have the latest version. Just to also thank the honourable committee, honourable members, and the chairperson for the opportunity to do so in relation to the DBE's report as at the end of the financial year, you had mentioned. We will be going through the five programmes of the Department of Basic Education. I'm not seeing the presentation slide, Ted.
Through you, Chair, Ms. Nugateliwe, I see the DG's mic is open. There's no support. Can you close? You'll open when your time has come. Maybe through you, Chair, if DG wants just to come and give a synopsis. DG, I see your mic is open. I don't know whether the network is still troubling you, but your mic is open. Can you, in the meantime, let's continue to flight the slide.
Thank you, honourable person.
Ms. Nosipo is requesting the host to give her the sharing rights. Please give her the sharing rights so that she can share the presentation. It shouldn't take long. Oh, Mr. Mahada, thank you so much. Over to you, Ms. Nugateliwe.
The chairperson, it's Llewellyn. I'm not sure if it's only me, but I'm not sure if anybody's speaking, but everything is quiet. I cannot hear anything unless they are muted. I cannot see that. My apologies.
Same here. I can't hear anything.
Get somebody to help or IT. Oh, guys, can you help the presenters?
Please, because the DG chair, through you, called me now. He hears everything. He's part of the meeting, but I think it's the device because he says where he is, the network is perfect. And he has connected and he hears everything, but when he has to speak, he can't. We don't hear him. Mr. Mahada, can you please help Ms. Nugateliwe? Or you are there? Okay. Continue.
Communication issue. Honorable Chairperson and members, I was kicked off from the platform, so I've reconnected. If I may continue.
Yes, you may.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. So this presentation will look at the service delivery environment and context as in previous presentations of the annual report, and it really looks at the National Department of Basic Education in terms of its mandate to lead the sector, but also to develop and monitor the sector in terms of its achievements of its medium to long-term outcomes. So the context, the environment we examine, but also we present the end program performance in terms of the financial year in support of the NDP 2030 and the NTSF 2024 goals and outcomes. We also recognize then that in the first part of this presentation, we'll be looking at how we are going to be contributing to those outcomes that are reflected in the sector plan. I hope I'm audible. Next slide, please. And then Pasquale will look at the financials. So as I mentioned, it will be five programs of the DPE. The first program relating to administration, HR issues, and a lot of compliance issues around legislation. Program two looks at curriculum and the engine. Program two and program three really are the engine of the department in terms of curriculum, support, monitoring, implementation. Program three, teachers, education, human resources, and institutional development that covers school management and governance, amongst others. Program four looks at planning, information, and assessment, and that includes infrastructure and environmental issues. And program five then looks at the psychosocial, educational enrichment services, social cohesion, amongst others. So we have, as we normally do, the status bar for the indicators from 2020. We always look to see what we did before to compare what we've done in the year under review, which is at the bottom, 2021-22. And you will see, honourable members, that we had one more indicator in the year under review than we did in the last year. We have a shift, if you like, in terms of just percentages to achievement of 57 indicators fully achieved in 2021 as opposed to 55 in the year before, and the partial achievement of 13 indicators as opposed to partial and non-achievement of 13 indicators. And I'll explain exactly what we mean by partial achievement and non-achievement in relation to the auditor's interpretation of the performance information presented. Next slide, please. The next slide is a visual representation of exactly the same thing in terms of percentages. And we looked at annual target status. Normally in quarterly reports, we look at just the quarterly reports, and you will see that the majority of our targets, because education is a very complex system and complex process, getting to learning outcomes takes a lot of time. And so most of our annual targets, for instance, the matric results, et cetera, we have happen only once a year. But most of our quarterly activities feed into that. So the majority of our targets are annual, about between 70 and 80%, depending on what year, are annual targets. And that is the status of the targets as at the end of the year. So in terms of the targets that we didn't fully achieve, we had in program two, we had a commitment to work on the general education certificate, something that was anticipated in the yellow book in 1992. And that indicator spoke to full implementation. It was interpreted as full implementation, whereas we actually completed a pilot program for the GEC. So we should have clearly worded it, and it was regarded as non-achievement. So we are then in the following 2 or 3 years until full implementation happens, we will be correcting that wording in the performance information based on the advice of the Auditor General. In terms of Program 2.3.7, in terms of ICT devices, we have targets which were based on the obligations placed on the department, but in partnership with mobile network operators. And some of these operators did not meet the targets that they had for delivery with the department, and therefore we were not able to perform as we had planned. And we can see on the slide that the different providers who underachieved in terms of those targets. But of course, we as the department, we take full responsibility for making sure that when we say that we will deliver, we will. In terms of program four, because of the postponement of international assessment studies, we had various international assessments which were supposed to have happened during the time of COVID. They were not completed as initially scheduled. Most of these international assessment agencies actually pushed they couldn't go to schools across the world. It's not just in South Africa. And we were then able to, we then had to delay and postpone the delivery of the International Progress in Learning, Reading and Learning study, which basically monitors the levels of reading and numeracy and literacy and comprehension in the sector. It will only be released at the end of this calendar year. Similarly, the regional SIACMEC study, which measures grade 6 achievement and learning outcomes, will only be released next year due to these postponements. We had, in terms of 4.3.4, data collection challenges, and I'll speak to some of those as we go through the presentation. At provincial level, just in terms of getting to schools and particularly underperforming schools, we had two provinces which did not submit evidence in time. And even though letters were written and this information submission or lack of submission was escalated, we weren't able to get the information in time for the auditors to examine and pronounce on that evidence. So we have since ensured that we've deployed additional school improvements support coordinators to make sure we get this data and ensure that we populate these instruments and the information that's required well in time for the next cycle. Next slide. We then also have indicators which are partially achieved. We had, as the national department, we're responsible for oversight and overall monitoring of the sector. And in that case, we have sector reports, especially for in relation to our key policy mandates in curriculum. Many of these sector reports require all 9 provinces to submit detailed information outside of the reporting. And they did that, unfortunately, outside of the reporting period at the end of March 2022. And so this late submission then was carried through into the lack of submission of the annual sector report by the Department of Basic Education by the end of the financial year under review. So we'll rectify that in the next reporting period. We've already started work with provinces on just understanding what their responsibilities are in national delivery. In terms of 2.1.13, we have a commitment to provide the technical occupational curriculum. And again, we had challenges in terms of late submission, incomplete reports, particularly from those two provinces. And just in terms of detail, the non-compliance was subsequently escalated, and the reports were completed, but after the date again, similar to those ones above. So we have a lot of work to do with provinces in relation to just verifying the information, but also ensuring that information is verified and completed and submitted within the time required. Program 3, in terms of SGB effectiveness, we had correct targets, and these targets were incorrectly captured when the plan was finalized, and that has been rectified since then. So we have, next slide, please. So we have a lot of areas of work where we have strengthened based on our experience, but also based on the reflection on the audits and the advice that we've gotten in terms of our mandate, but also our responsibility as a national department. Next slide, please. Slide 11 just looks at also really our responsibilities in terms of our planning of our work and the considerations that we have in terms of our program. So we analyze routinely the gaps between what we do and what the expectations are in the NDP 2030 and what we do in terms of the expectations of the sector plan, which is the response to the NDP in the sector. And within the 5-year period, the MTSF outcomes that government is expected to account for to the public and to the country at large. So we want to confirm that these outcomes, the programs that we have, are linked to the 6 priority areas. We could strengthen a lot more. And in the current draft APP for next year, we are strengthening the programmatic responses to these even more. Next slide, please. So we have 5 outcomes. Our outcomes are really the impact on community and communities as a whole, and our 5 outcomes look at school readiness. When we look at our programs, we also look at the ability of 10-year-olds to read for meaning, but also to count with confidence. And numeracy and literacy, particularly for primary school learners, is high on our priority list. youth prepared for further studies on the world of work before beyond grade 9, and also youth leaving the schooling system more able to contribute towards a prosperous and equitable South Africa. And that looks at development outcomes more broadly. And finally, outcome 5 looks at physical infrastructure and the environment of instruction and learning, and the inspiration of what happens within classrooms and within schools in respect of this. Next slide, please. So those 5 outcomes really guide our 2024 goals. And I've spoken to the action plan. I know that there have been various presentations on the action plan, and it's very clear, the action plan, what we have to do in terms of grade 3, 6, and 9 numeracy, literacy, maths, performance, not just those, but in addition to those, then improving access to ECD, grade promotion, efficiency, and access to further education and training and the world of work. But also, how are we going to do it? On the left-hand side, looks at management, it looks at better job satisfaction, teacher supply and demand, access to resources, community participation and in governance, better school management and support of schools, better school funding situation, and improved health and well-being, not just of learners, but also of educators as well, and staff more generally. Inclusive education and district support, extremely important for grounding what we do. The highlights of the year under review, we had a slight increase in the overall pass rate. Next slide, please. We had an increase in the number of workbooks that were printed and delivered to schools, and we had 76 of Hunza Lushaka graduates eligible for placement against an annual target of 84%. I'll speak a bit about that. More young and qualified educators were appointed in the year under review than the previous year, and schools monitored for school feeding by the national department over and above those which are monitored by provinces were 134. Next slide, please. So part B looks at the actual performance, and I'm going to just go very quickly through the actual performance and focus on the areas, some of the areas we identified as a challenge. We have capacity building programs, we have staffing services, we have the development of young people through internships and learnerships. Next slide, please. In this particular program, we have a resolution of grievances, and we keep an eye on the numbers of service providers that are paid within 30 days as stipulated and committed by government. We have the detail on slide 22 on the bills and regulations that have been processed at the moment. Next slide, please. We also have financial and reporting obligations and compliance obligations, which were done within the time periods required. Next slide, please. So we had just have a record really of compliance with the department, along with security and asset management activities, especially those that were put in place under COVID-19, but also others that are related to procurement. Next slide, please. We have particular special projects around entrepreneurship, employability, and the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. We've got work that was done around that. We have the work that's done by the GITO in this to enhance network infrastructure, especially in the environment of more remote work and learning support. We also have on slide 26 then the work that's being done in coordinating additional conditional grants and resources to provinces. Next slide, please, in support of some of our largest programs. Then we have strategic planning and reporting compliance, one of which is what we are doing right now, and the kinds of work that we do around that. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Then in program 2, we look at the curriculum policy supports. And here, program 2 is really about monitoring, supporting curriculum and assessment, but also improving, using this as an opportunity to improve the system of learning. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. In terms of program two, we have, as I mentioned earlier, a sector report on various issues, on inclusive education and the provision of programs to learners with profound intellectual disabilities, on the screening, identification, assessment, and support mechanisms and implementation of those mechanisms in provinces. And you can see here in terms of the yellow, that annual sector report was drafted before the date that it was supposed to, but finalized only after that date. Next slide, please. Similarly, we have national reports on the ECD landscape and the new ECD, incoming ECD function, as well as the new funding model for ECD. Again, a national report on just where we are. Those are all provided on the management information system, on the national curriculum statement for grade 10 to 12 implementation, and the classes, the number of provinces monitored on extra support classes. Next slide, please. We also have schools which are monitored for the implementation of entrepreneurship education. You can see there was no deviation from the target. We're right on track. But again, this annual sector report that I had indicated earlier, which had not been, which was not, not provided for which I had mentioned earlier in terms of implementation. So we have since then corrected the work that we do in terms of that. 2.1.13 looks at the annual sector report again on the technical occupational stream, and also then 2.1.14, the piloting of the coding and robotics curriculum. We can see that we had monitored those schools that we had targeted. Next slide, please. And then we have a series of schools monitored for, in terms of the reading norms, implementation, incremental introduction of African languages, early grade reading assessment, which basically assesses primary schooling and early foundation phase learning outcomes, multi-grade classes, which are monitored for implementing the multi-grade toolkit. All these, we are on target, and they are the national department's target, in addition to what provinces do. And those provinces would reflect some many of these targets in their provincial APPs. Slide 40 looks at the implementation of the National Reading Plan. We have an approved annual sector report so that people can go and find out what's happening in different provinces in terms of reading. And we're going to be improving the detail that is found in these annual sector reports so that we're not just complying with accountability requirements, but we're actually looking at how delivery is happening and how we can improve implementation of delivery in different provinces. Then we looked at also, because learning readers in African languages are extremely important, we have an annual sector report produced on public schools monitored on the availability of readers. And that, again, was the information was submitted by provinces after the date or the end of the financial year. And I've referred to that earlier. Then we have monitored schools and provinces in terms of the ICT resource utilization, workbooks utilization, provision, sorry. Next slide, please. And also workbooks for grade 1 to 9 learners in different, and grade R learners. We monitor those regularly because these are extremely important for our learners. Next slide, please. We also have textbooks. We also monitor the province and provide an annual sector report on what's happening in terms of maths and English first additional language texts, as well as home language literacy and lesson plans for different terms. Again, this is in addition to what the provinces are monitoring in terms of the detail. Next slide, please. Then we have special schools with access to electronic devices. I had mentioned this earlier. We had a target that was planned of 307, and we really had serious problems in just getting getting to the target because of our reliance, if you like, on partners that didn't quite meet their performance target. again, we're re-looking at those indicators, but also re-looking at the way that we provide the lens that we had targeted and the means by which to mobilize resources to do that. In terms of 2.3.8, we had an annual sector report, again, on the distribution and procurement of ICT devices, and we had information that was submitted after the date of that we were supposed to get an annual sector report, and that compromised the provision of the sector report for the department by the end of the financial year. Similarly, number of teachers trained on inclusion and the number of learners in public special schools, again, we had challenges in terms of providing that before the end of the financial year. Next slide, please. Then we have a sector report which is provided, which produced on the percentage of special schools, public special schools serving as resource centers and the establishment of focus schools for the provincial department. We have two sector reports which were drafted and which were only finalized and approved after the end of the reporting period, which was the end of March. Next slide, please. So the rest of these slides really speak to the different units, activities, and efforts in relation to curriculum, in relation to strengthening teacher and learner support, in relation to implementation monitoring, the second chance matric program, which falls under this program, and various workbook materials provisioning that we've done to different provinces in different languages across the sector. Next slide, please. Slide 51 looks at per province, the allocation and dispatch and delivery numbers for different provinces. Slide 52 looks at volume 2, which for grade 1 to 9, the similar numbers for the second volume. And slide 53 looks at the rural education project and the kinds of activities that it's had in support of learning outcomes. Then MST, e-learning and research, the innovative work that's being done to support subject advisors reflected on slide 54, as well as advocacy and monitoring activities. Next slide, please. And slide 55 looks at new curriculum offerings in respect of the new enrollment on these curriculum offerings. Next slide, please. Then in terms of ECD, the function shift and what has been done in relation to the function shift and the kinds of the foundation for the planning and information system for the early childhood development sector is reflected in here in this slide. Next slide, please. We have on slide 57 the kinds of work that's being done in just to support reading campaigns and promotional activities to get communities, to get young people to appoint reading champions. Next slide, please. And then we go to program 3, which looks at teachers, education, human resources, and school-based management and development. Slide 59 really looks at the SGBs that meet the minimum criteria in terms of effectiveness, and we monitor those regularly. And I mentioned the inaccurate capturing of the target, and that in spite of that, the achievement was that monitoring happened in 860 out of the targeted 1,000 school sample. So there's quite a lot of work around SGB effectiveness, because we know that SGBs have the opportunity to really support learning improvement at the level of schools. 3.1.2 looks at the minimum set of management documents at the required standard. We know that managers and officials need policy and other documents to make their lives easier to make decisions. And again, we were on target for that in that indicator. Next slide, please. Funza Lushaka bursaries awarded to students enrolled for teacher education programs, and we exceeded our target in that case because tuition fees during the time of the pandemic and since the time of the pandemic actually have been lower than the capped value amounts that we had initially anticipated, and inflation of fees at higher institutions in general were lower than expected. So we had more coverage of the bursary awardees. 3.1.4 looks at the quarterly monitoring reports just to see how the placement is happening. And again, we were on target in that respect to bring new, younger people into the teaching service. Then we monitor regularly the schools where allocated teaching posts are filled, and we had 4 quarterly reports next. And then also similarly, we monitor the number of qualified teachers entering the public service, and we were on target because we submitted that annual sector report on time. Next slide, please. We then also have a report on the functionality of teacher development institutes and teacher development centers, which are supposed to help to support teachers at the district and the provincial level. And we have a report on that, which is open to scrutiny, and it provides much more information on what's happening in the different centers. Then we have we committed to a national report on monitoring teacher development programs with specific focus on certain subjects, and we have that report. We provided that report. Next slide, please. Post-provisioning processes and their compliance with norms and standards, we monitor provinces on that, and we also monitor grade R practitioners with at least an NQF level 6 or above qualification. We have a report on that as well. Next slide, please. We also monitor PMDS implementation at provincial level, as well as the next slide, please. And we were on target for that monitoring. The next few slides just look at the detail of the work that we do in terms of school evaluation, principal support, the quality management system implementation, as well as the detail of what I've mentioned earlier. Next slide, please. We have the placement information on slide 67 by province, and we have the schools which had all their allocated educator posts filled. Again, we have those by province. Then the next few slides just look at the detail of exactly what was happening in terms of labor relations, conditions of service, consultations with various unions on strategic issues, the information on initial teacher education. Next slide, please. And various teacher development and continuing professional teacher development activities in collaboration with partners internationally as well as locally and nationally. We have information on slide 71 on curriculum research in relation to continuing professional teacher development, and also work that's being done just to support teacher professional development more generally in different subjects. Next slide, please. The detail on slide 272 I've spoken about in relation to teacher development. We have a lot of detail around that. And then we come to program 4, which looks at quality and effective service delivery through planning, implementation, assessment, and infrastructure, particularly here. We look at the slide 74, looks at new schools provided and completed through RCD. Is provided with sanitation facilities and with water facilities through RCD. Again, this is in addition to what provinces should be doing in terms of the equitable share, and we were on target. And we achieved our targets mainly through just a huge amount of pressure exerted on the implementing agents administratively, technically, but also politically, just to ensure that the targets are achieved and completed as many of the projects as possible. The ministry particularly was instrumental, but also the education officials just in making sure that this happens. Just a huge amount of pressure, weekly, almost sometimes even daily in that respect. In relation to other areas of work, we had work to develop test items, which are basically questions in language and math for grade 3, 6, and 9. And those would then populate whatever certification and assessments that we want to run in particular grades, and those were on target. We have a national senior certificate report produced. We produce 4 every year, and we were on target for that. And we also then developed question papers and questions for both the June and November examinations. Again, we were on target for those, including extra new and additional offerings for the exam in marine sciences. 4.2.4 looks at the SASAMS, which is the electronic management system for reporting, which provides information on different areas of work. And we've invested a lot in this management system, and we are beginning to reap the benefits of that in terms of data and information that informs policy. 4.2.5 looks at the report on the LURIS, which is a unit record information system. Again, the investment is huge, and we have an approved national report on provinces who are monitored, but also what they're doing in and using this information for. Next slide, please. We have a national report. The target was to have a national report on learning outcomes linked to the national assessment framework, and we had anticipated having a report on grade 5 and 9. We had a postponement, as I said earlier, and so we're not able to do that in the year under review. So that it will only be provided in this calendar year. Similarly, school readiness assessment, we have a national report on the first early learning national assessment, and we will then be using that to deepen our understanding of what happens in the early grades, particularly in grade R and particularly in the preschool in readiness for school. Then we have targets related to officials from districts that achieve below the national benchmark in the NSC who are participating in a mentoring program. We were on target for that. We were on target for percentage of school principals rating school support services of districts as being satisfactory, because that's a very important part of instructional leadership improvement. And district directors who have undergone competency assessment prior to their appointment. We were also on track for that, and we were in full compliance. Next slide, please. We have also data collection challenges, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of our target for the underperforming schools monitored at least twice a year by district officials. And we are looking really to improve the deployment of support coordinators to collect that information, to monitor that information, but also to then use that information then for improvement. That's the point of having schools monitored, not just to report it, but also to use that information to improve the schools. We had district director forums, which were held to start to support districts, but also to exchange information and innovations to help to improve district support of schools. And then we have also district improvement plans. Number of districts in which teacher development was conducted as per district improvement plans, we had 61. We had targeted 60, and we had no deviation from the target. So we achieved that target. Next slide, please. And then the rest of these slides in program 4 looks at just the detail of the examination preparation process, the work around the national assessments, provincial school level planning improvement, EMIS infrastructure, and other areas. Program 5 then looks at educational enrichment services, and it looks at the policies and programs to improve the quality of learning in schools. Next slide. We have monitoring for the provision of nutritious meals. We have work that was done on safety, cohesion, inclusion.
Recording in progress.
Will increase in collaboration around this, especially since the pandemic, and we're able to really boost participation and much more than we had targeted. And so hence the positive deviation, more partners came to the table, more advocates for social cohesion, psychosocial support, etc., came to the table, particularly after the horrors and the trauma of the pandemic. 5.1.5 looks at districts implementing a program on school assemblies to end school-related gender-based violence, and you can see that that's something that's high on our priority list from the work that's being done in this area, and a lot of the events around this that are being driven through the department at political as well as administrative level. So no deviation there. Next slide, please. And the detail of the provincial, local work that's being done in these areas is very hard. Please. Next slide, please. And let us cover it, you can see. And the safety, sports, and enrichment.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. Good morning to members of the Select Committee, honorable members, the DM, as well as colleagues from the BBE. I'll start on the financial side. Our budget for last year was 27.2 billion. We spent 99.8% of that, which it is basically 99.75, but the roundup is 99.8%, which means we underspend by just 0.2%, which is less than a quarter of a percentage, which is 8 million. Next slide. That slide that I showed earlier on is per program. Then this one that we're showing is per economic classification. It's basically the same information, except that on this slide we're showing expenditure per economic zone. And then the next slide shows earmarked funds. We spend hundreds, as is shown there. Basically, this slide shows specifically the RCD budget. Let me be specific. So we spend 100% of that, but we'll explain in the next slide. Because in the middle of this slide that we're showing, or maybe the second item that we're showing overspending on goods and services, and the first item we're showing overspending. Go back, sorry, Mr. Marabe, go back to the previous slide. Just want to explain that before we get to this slide. We're showing overspending on compensation and goods and services, and the underspending on building and fixed assets. But we're explaining that in the next slide. If we can go to the next slide, Mr. Mann. Yeah, in the next slide.
Your line is so bad. I can hardly hear what you're saying.
You can't hear me? Chair, can you hear me? Is it better now?
We hear you, but it's like you...
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
In a frying pan.
Is it back in here? Yeah, the DJ says you can hear me clearly.
Oh, you hear him clearly.
It's like we are in two different worlds. I can hear him clearly.
Okay.
It's like we are in the bottom of the pit.
So I'm speaking from my cell phone because my laptop audio on my laptop. If I go to the laptop, you only hear me completely. So I normally join with both, but today I've just joined with the cell phone and I'm reading from my laptop. That's why sometimes I'm ahead of Mr. Mar.
Continue.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jack. Yes, on the previous slide, let me maybe shout a bit. On the previous slide, we showed that Bhutan Services was overspending as well as compensation of employees. But we must remember that with regards to the ACD, we call it the ACD budget. We get one budget from Treasury. And then we don't have that rule where it says you can't take from capital to goods and services. So on the treasury side, if we overspend or if we overspend on one area, we balance it out. So at the end of the day, that's why at the bottom of that slide, you show that the whole budget has been spent. If we can go to the next slide. This slide is unconditional grants. This one we've spent all the budget, Chair, because this actually basically is the transfer to provinces. So we've transferred all the money to provinces. Then, Chair, we can go to audit outcomes, which is the next slide. On the audit outcomes, Chair, we show in the historical audit outcomes for the last 5 years. We say the top, the bullet one, the department received an unqualified audit opinion with no matters of emphasis for the 2021-2022 financial year. Then we show in the historical outcomes, we're saying in the 2017-18 financial year, we got a qualified audit opinion. The same applied to the 2018-19 financial year, as well as the 2019-20 financial year. That was the COVID year. Then in the following year, 2020-21, we started improving our audit outcomes. And that year, we got an unqualified audit opinion with matters of emphasis. And in the year under review, 2021-22, we got an unqualified opinion with no matters of emphasis. So we can go to the next slide. We've done an audit action plan, Chair, and we show in there what the issues are. The first one, in the columns, the FS means financial statement item, and findings and action and actions and internal control improvement as well as progress. This just goes to show, Chair, what the issues are and then what the findings are and what the progress is. I wouldn't bore you by going through each one of them. Save to say that we are monitoring the audit action plan and working on corrective action on that. Especially because, Chair, as we've shown in the previous slide, that our audit outcomes are improving year by year. So I'll skip this slide, Chair. I'll ask that we pass the slides on the audit action plan in the interest of time, and then we can go to a slide that says yes. GBE input on sector audit. This one relates to that two issues, mainly the presidential youth employment initiative, which is a PY
EI as well as the NSNP and infrastructure. Actually, is three issues which for this year the AG has decided to audit as part of the sector. And what we're doing as a department, we are monitoring how these findings are being addressed as we go along. I won't go into the details of this, Chair, in the interest of time. It is very detailed. It's more operational. There are no major issues. That's why, Chair, as we say, we're improving our audit outcomes as we go along. I'll then move over to slide 121. Maybe go two steps back, Mr. Mahada, because that's the slide. Further remedial actions on NSNP findings. DBE will develop a template with action plans on challenges identified during monitoring visits and PEDs, meaning Provincial Education Department quarterly reports. Progress reports will be shared with PEDs. DBE will request plans from PEDs to cascade and ensure schools are trained effectively. The relevant directorate will engage with the directorate on educator performance management and the other directorate, EMGD, for guidance on annual management processes. And we'll give directive to all provinces to advise schools to include NSNP in school self-evaluation. We can then move, Chair, just quickly to issues of irregular expenditure. Slide shows the history of the irregular expenditure over the years. The blue is basically the RCD part. As you can see, the blue is very prominent, meaning over the years, the irregular expenditure, the root cause or the cause of the irregular expenditure has mainly been from the infrastructure side or RCD. And the red is non-RCD. As you can see, the red diminishes with time as you go to the right. And then the green is basically the total of the two. So in 2020-21, which is the longest bar, if you remember, Chair, that's the year when the AG had qualified as one of the qualification points in the previous year, 1920, was that the AG could not verify how we had quantified our irregular expenditure. He couldn't see what actions we took. So in 2020-21, we went all out to implementing agents. We visited them, and we took stock of all the irregular expenditure dating back from 2011 when implementing agents started operating. So that's why the irregular expenditure for 2020-21 shot through the roof. It doesn't mean that the whole additional 2 billion, 2.9 billion was for that year. The bulk of it was actually for the previous years. It's just that after that exercise that we did, we were able to record what had been happening in the previous years. And then, as you can see, Chair, in the year under review, the irregular expenditure has actually gone down to 572 million. Then the next slides is just the details per of the irregular expenditure to say who what item is which one. So it's a detail of the summary that we showed at the in the previous slide, Chair, and it's a few slides. Okay, I think it's only this slide for now, but as we go along, you'll see that we differentiate between regular expenditure and potential irregular expenditure. We then differentiate between fruitless and wasteful expenditure and potential fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But I won't go into those details, Chair, because these figures we've got on the other side. As you can see at the top row, under 2021-22, that 572 is what you saw on the bar there on the other side. So I won't go into this. I won't even go into the comparative. We're showing here the comparison year on year, but it didn't you know, assist in terms of time. So I'll skip this. And then when we go to this other slide, we're trying to show, Chair, what action has been taken so far, starting from 2012-2013. So we go back. In the middle there, we've got the column that says fraud and corruption detected. And then we say the investigation committee could not detect any fraud or corruption. Then on the extreme right, we're saying officials involved in action taken. Then we say the final written warnings were issued to a CD program manager. So this slide basically shows what action has been taken as we go along. Some of the investigations are still ongoing, especially for the 2021-2022 financial year and some of the 2020-2021 financial year, Chair. It's the same. That's where we've got a few slides saying, you know, showing the history of what we are doing over the years. And then let me see, Chair. It's still irregular expenditure. And then then we can go to possibly irregular expenditure slide. Mr. Mahada, just move. Just move. You'll see a heading one big slide. This one. Chair, this one is where, for example, the AG wouldn't have determined, or there wouldn't be a determination on whether this is already regular expenditure or not. So that's why I said that there's a differentiation even in the financials. So this is the list. Then I'll also move through this. You know, we're showing progress as well as on these slides, Chair. Then we go to fruitless and wasteful. It's the same. Move to fruitless and wasteful, Mr. Mahada. It's the same approach, Chair. Most of these relate to previous financial years. For example, if you look at the second one, SABNT. No, go back. I think it's Mr. Mada. This one. Sorry, I think it's. I'll go back. No, sorry. Go. I'm on slide 157. Just to assist you. Yeah, I think it's this one. 157. Yeah, it's this one. Sorry, Chair. We show him, for example, Chair, to show that these go back a long time. Some of them. We show him on the second one under progress that 2015-16 Karigude. Investigation was conducted. Matter was referred to the Hawks for further investigation. On that one in particular, the Hawks are still investigating.
EG, you sound like you're under the
sea. We phone them and say it's one of the issues. We just show in China, we're not just sitting where it's finally here. Sorry?
Oh, okay. Let me move quickly, Chair. Then we've got a slide on possible fruitless and wasteful, but I want to move and go towards the end where we talk about recovery. Yes, slide 165, Mr. Mahada. 165. Yes, on this slide, Chair, we show in that some of the funds that we've recovered on irregular and fruitless expenditure, we
Recording in progress.
What you have been paid. So we recover the 16 million. But this is an ongoing process, Chair, because subsequently the AG has done a further audit on this, and it seems as if there's still more recovery that we have to make on this one in particular. So we then over and above that, we've got instances, Chair, where after the AG has determined that something is irregular, and we're not in agreement with them, we then write to Treasury for condonation, and we're showing on this slide, Chair, that so far we've gotten condonation of 897 million that the AG had determined to be irregular on the DBSA procurement, and then we have also applied, Chair, for Kuga Development Corporation CDC. We've applied for 754 million for condonation thereof, and for the Mvula Trust, the Mvula Trust TMT, we've applied for 1.1 million. Chair, we then also have material irregularities. I've touched on some of them. These are issues, Chair, that the AG has raised. None of these relate to the year under review. If you remember, Chair, I think in 2017 the Public Audit Act was amended to give the AG more muscle to follow up on issues that would be irregular expenditure, but then they would then make a determination, the AG, that this is material irregularity. Then they would follow that up, give us time to respond, give us time to follow up, and then as a last resort, then they would hold an accounting officer personally responsible. So these are some of those issues. They date back. Some of them, like the one you saw, Chair, it dates back to 1617, and it's with the Hawks. So this one, for example, TCN Architect is one of them. It goes back. I don't remember which year, but we're busy with that, Chair. I think we've got about five of them. Interest paid on payment not made within 30 days. So it's this one, Chair, and then another one, this is Karguda, the one I spoken to. I think there's about four of them, and then there's this one as well on the Mvula Trust. This one, Chair, talks to
see them. summarize.
Oh, thank you. No, I'm getting there. Okay, thanks, DM. Yes, I think I'm done. It's just about four of them. Yeah, what are we doing? We hold weekly meetings with the minister. We have Monday meetings with the DG with individual implementing agents. And then we have Wednesday and Thursday meetings. So that's what we do. Let me stop here, Chair. Thank you so much. Sorry if I took more time than expected. Thanks, Chair. Over to you. Over to you, MD, I'm sorry, and DG.
Thank you. Over to you, Chair. This is our presentation.
Thanks a lot, DM and the DG, finally, for being in the meeting and participating. Honourable members, here's the report of the post-mortem. And do we dealing with things that has happened going forward? And let me again congratulate you, the team, for having gotten a good, a very positive audit comment from the AG with your unqualified audit report, and with no matter of emphasis. Congratulations, and I hope you keep this momentum, but we don't lose it. Honourable members, that's the presentation. I'll give it rained on me day before yesterday, so I have terrible flu. I get my swimming on a tractor. I just want to check for myself, slide 73. It talks about the pills and the Southeast Africa Consortium for Monitoring Educational Quality. The PISM segment studies were not completed as initially scheduled to the postponement of the studies for a year after the scheduled date. The PIRLS 2021 study will be released in December 2022. The segment study report will be released in April 2023, I meant to say. What has the department done to guide the decision making, noting that this information was not available? Secondly, what alternative data sources has the department relied upon to guide decision making and action within the context of learning outcomes are linked to the national assessment framework? On slide 76, there's a total of 182 question papers were required for the November 2021 examination. Omaluosi approved 159 question papers set for November this year, for November 2021 examinations. And three question papers were used from the question paper bank. What is the cost difference between setting a question paper and using the question paper bank? And who owns the question paper bank? Is it the department or is it a private institution? That will be the questions from me for now. Honorable members, you may engage with the input, asking questions and comments. I see there's the hand of Honorable Christian, Honorable Dongeni, Lindile to Mazandona. Yeah, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to leave my camera off, Chairperson, because we've got a little bit of crazy weather here. It's been rainy. So I have a few questions. The first question is on slide 47 that deals with inclusive education. We see there that 48 teachers were trained in Braille, 165 in South African Sign Language, 88 on autism, and 11,032 on inclusive programs. I just want to know whether the department, was this a once-off training initiative, or did it form part of a series of workshops? Will there be any credits granted towards the formal qualification for these teachers, and in which provinces did this training occur, or which teachers in which provinces were identified? And then with regard to the educator performance management and development and whole school evaluation system, I think it was on slide 63. Now, I see that monitoring took place remotely in six of the provincial departments. Which six provincial departments were that? Will that be a norm in the future? And how did it work out for the department? Was it worth doing it remotely? And do you think it empowered or was it a disadvantage to the schools? And then with regard to slide 85, the total education infrastructure grant allocation for 2021-2022, that was in the region of about just over 11 billion rand. Now, this budget was obviously transferred to provincial education departments in five installments. And the Director General also made site visits to see how the construction of those projects went. My question is, were there any challenges that were identified during those site visits? And if there were any challenges, in which provinces were those challenges? And is there anything that the department wants to make us aware of that they picked up during those site visits that we need monitoring within the provinces? And then my last two questions, the nutritional school, the National School Nutritional Program. Now, I'm sure that DBE is aware that TVET colleges offer N4 to N6 hospitality. And that the hospitality obviously includes the making of food and and so on. Now, those learners I know need to have an 18-month in-service training program in order to receive their national diploma. Now, has the Department of Basic Education ever thought of collaborating with higher education, specifically TVET colleges, to come in there and assist them with a national school nutrition program, and thereby assisting, in essence, two very important programs. Number one, the school nutrition program, and number two, assisting those learners to get their 18-month national in diploma. And then lastly, on slides 121 to 124, there was irregular expenditure up to 2021-2022. Now, I see that warning letters or final written warnings were given, or cautionary letters. Has any action been taken further? Is that situation being monitored? Or is there any additional information that we need to know specifically from slides 121 to 144? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable President. And I learned from the report that the DG has done made 1,496 site visits to different construction. That's great. I wonder how many kilometers has been that DG. Thank you very much for doing that, for being on the ground and physically monitoring this project. It shows the high level of commitment by the chief. Is that Honorable Mbongele? Who will be second? Honorable Mbongele?
Chair?
Yes.
I don't know whether you hear me. Hey,
I've
got a problem there, Dutuma. Do you hear me, ne?
Yes, we do. If it's a problem, we can switch your video off, but I think you're doing well for now. Continue.
Please. Okay. My question, Chair. Noting that school improvement support coordinators have been deployed to all provinces to monitor and collect monitoring instruments since May 2022, the question is, what immediate improvement have emerged due to this deployment? The second one, 4 indicators were noted and not achieved, 2 from Program 2 and 2 from Program 4. What strategy has the department put in place to avoid the reporting of not achieving indicators for the next financial year? 9 indicators were noted and partially achieved, 8 from Program 2 and 1 from Program 4. What strategy has the department put in place to avoid the reporting on partial achievement indicators for the next financial year? According to annual report, the percentage of Black, African, or colored grade 12 candidates taking at least one technology-focused subject in metric remaining unchanged between 2018 and 2019 at 9%. What national and provincial plans been developed and implemented to overcome this scenario? The last two, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Technology. According to annual report investigation into some of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, cases were not performed, and therefore disciplinary steps were taken against officials who had occurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required by Section 38.1H3 of the PMSA. How is this scenario to be rectified, and what measures are being introduced to avoid this scenario from recurring in the upcoming financial year? The last one, Chem. The annual report notes that in the school where monitoring was conducted, physical feeding schemes varied from school to school. For example, schools that provided breakfast feed their learners during break time, which is usually between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. In schools that did not provide breakfast, Leonard will serve their meals between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Adherence to feeding learners by 10 a.m. was observed in less than 80% of all the 138 schools. What was identified and the main cause for not adhering to feeding learners by 10 a.m.? Thanks, Chairperson. I will come back if there is a second bite.
That is just something, Chair, that is worrisome. That how fair is it on us?
Chair, I don't hear you. I don't know whether it's me.
I was muted. Sorry about that. I just want to know, Jim, that how far are we in eradicating pit latrines in school? I know there's a kid who fell into a pit latrine in Limpopo around the Moleti area. Some 2-3 years ago, and understand that the most schools, of course, use a VIP latrines, which is you know, and 18% of schools use, not schools use a pit latrines, and then they are the VIPs, which is nearly more or less the same, and you know, and 8% of schools use what is called the environment. When do we anticipate getting rid of pit latrines in schools? The other related to that, also it relates also to water, availability of water in the schools. In some schools, children have to go out of the schoolyard to get water from a pump outside the schoolyard. Is there any progress in terms of infrastructure in schools to do that? And then there will be other issues related to electricity that we mentioned that the DM talked to. Was it DM or you? But anyway, it was about when we're writing exams that children didn't have to, you know, but that there was electricity to the majority of the schools during that time, during the writing of exams. What are we doing, or are there plans, for instance, to take our schools off the grid that have problems, or in areas where there's problem with electricity? Have we looked at solar energy or wind, you know, to provide electricity to the schools? That would be another question from me. Is there another hand from the members? Oh yeah, Honorable Lutuli. Madam Dona, it's you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone. Can I have my video off? You're here to make Cape Town. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you so much, Chairperson. I know my question is that we know that Iripotka AG noted that if Free State and KwaZulu-Natal are required intervention, and Eastern Cape and Limpopo finance units need to be capacitated with the appropriate skills. Can the department please share what plans to support these PEDs within the context of AG's recommendation or comments? The second question, Chairperson, is that a conditional grant business plan for all 9 provinces were approved and submitted to National Treasury as follows: Early Childhood Development Grant, HIV and AIDS Life Skills Education Program, Learners and Severe to Profound Intellectual Disability, Maths, Science and Technology, and National School Nutrition Program. What can the committee expect in terms of enhancing the quality of teaching and learning for all learners because of approved conditional grant business plan for all 9 provinces? The second last question, Chair. In your slide 92, we have noted the following. You have a program for Support School Sports League, and you have purchased 1,066 Access Board to distribute to provinces. Is oversight conducted on the use of this Access Board for intended purpose? I know that the chairperson has asked this question, but I also want to know, Uguti, when does the department anticipate having 0% of schools using to toilets? I think that should be my question, Chairperson, and that's if we'll have a second bite. Thank you.
Yeah. Are there other hands from members? Madam Dona, may you lower your hand? Thank you. Let's give over to the DG to discuss the round of questions. Over to you, DG. Who is going to answer this question?
Over to the event, DG. Am I audible?
We can hear you as you ask him.
Yeah, I wanted to give to officials in the event DG is not connected that let the officials under the chief directors and the DDG in the meetings respond, then I will just finalize in the end. CFO?
Yeah, thanks, DM. I'll talk to it's just about two issues that relate to finance. The support to provinces in terms of financial management. We do have a unit chair that is within finance. Actually, it's two directorates that go to provinces on a regular basis to assist them on issues of financial management. We go there as per plans and as and when there are challenges that are experienced. So we will zoom into those provinces that have been mentioned. I think it was Free State and Limpopo that was mentioned by the honorable member and enhance our support to them. The issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, when one looks at what we are doing, for example, we've shown in the report that we are recovering the funds. When one looks at what is the effect of those recoveries of funds, and what is the effect of the disciplinary actions that we take? The effect is that in the current financial year, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has, that relates to the current financial year has gone down to only about 833,000, whereas in the previous financial years, or whereas the reported fruitless and wasteful expenditure over the years in the financials is about 20 million. So we are saying the actions that we are taking are bearing fruit in the sense that those figures are reducing as we go along. There was a question on the warning letters, on any further action. We take action, Chair. We do what we call progressive discipline. Depending on the severity of the issues, we would first
we do what you call a progressive discipline. But in the event where it is found that money was lost to the state, then we take it further to a point where we get the official or to refund the state. For example, some of the material irregularities that we've shown there demand of us to recover the money. And as we speak, some of the cases that relate to disciplinary action against fingered officials, those cases are still ongoing. I think those are the issues that I picked up that related to finance. DM, I know that there's one or two issues that relate to EIG, which I'm not sure whether Mr. Van der Staesen is in the meeting, because he talks to challenges at provinces and which provinces. I'll stop that, DM. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Van der Staesen. Can you respond on the issues of infrastructure and pit toilets? David? Oh my God. I'll come to that. Can DDG Gaya, did you get your issues, if there are any?
Good morning to the honourable members. For me, DM, there aren't any issues that have been allocated to me, so I don't have any responses that I can give.
Yeah, DM, there was an issue on exams. I'm told that Priscilla would be able to deal with it while we're trying to connect with Mr. Van der Staesen.
Priscilla, come in on the issues of exam.
Just hold on a bit. But also request the people, when they answer questions, they click to sit on the videos. I think this sitting is broadcast live. So people will want to know who's speaking. But in instances where the reception is bad, we'll understand that the line may crash. But it will be nicer to have the picture. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a formal select committee meeting, colleagues. Can we please open our videos if where we are, the line is good? Oh, like me now, I'm showing my face. Miss Priscilla, can you come and respond on issues of exam?
Thank you, DM. Good morning. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, DM. My bandwidth is a little bit of a problem, so if I may request not to switch on my video, I'm actually using some generation to get enough power to connect this morning. But just answering the question on the cost difference for certain question papers from the question bank and the reason for the difference. Maybe just to explain that the exam cycle usually starts 18 months prior to the examination. So the Department of Basic Education sets question papers for all the subjects and papers required as offerings in terms of the curriculum offerings. And after registration, you would find that one or two or three or 10 papers are not offered by the particular candidates of that cohort, then those papers are banked in quotes. What we mean by banked is that they are put in a secure system at the DBE, held exactly where they are set under the secure server at the DBE. So it's not held by private, it's held directly at DBE, at the ICM Development Unit, and it is utilized in the next year or the next cohort when they are required. Now, to give the exact cost for the difference between using a banked paper, it would depend on the exact question paper, because every question paper has a different norm time for its setting and therefore accumulates also a different amount, unless you just want an approximation. For example, the norm times for setting your languages, whether it's paper one, paper two, or paper three, they all vary from their norm times for setting technologies and the number of examiners in the panel. That will finally determine your exact budget. But if off the head to just indicate, when you are using a banked paper or a paper that was not used previously in the previous year and is used in a new year, the only thing that is required is your moderators will just re-moderate to make sure that the papers are still relevant for the current year, and where maybe previous issues of the environment had been quoted, they would be updated for the proper for the real issues. So in that case, you find that you would save on the setting, but you would possibly pay only for re-moderation. So it would possibly halve your cost with regards to the setting of that particular paper. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. DDG from the West Asian, I'm told you are back in the meeting. Can you respond on issues of infrastructure?
Good morning, DM, and good morning to all the honourable members of the committee. The questions on infrastructure, I'll start at the one on filters and waste pool.
Can you show your face?
Oh, let's see if we can try that.
Yeah, if possible, yes.
Is it coming up there?
It is there. And
it's not worth looking at. So, you want to keep it there to disrupt the discussion?
No, it's just, well, please to look at your beautiful face, yes.
Okay, so, Chair, then the first one on fruitless and wasteful. All incidents of fruitless and wasteful expenditure that we discover, we disclose in the financial statements. And all those incidents of disclosed fruitless and wasteful is then referred to the investigation committee, who then go and dig into it to see what was the root cause of it or the specific officials that stand in line for consequence management. So that is handled on a case-by-case basis, and one of the reasons why I had to leave the meeting urgently, we were consulting with the state attorney on exactly a case like that, on following up on the waste.
You were a bit frozen for some time, so we missed what you had said earlier. Your line was off, you frozen.
Okay. Jay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I do now.
Okay, on fruitless and wasteful, what we're saying on fruitless and wasteful, all incidents of fruitless and wasteful that we discover, we disclose in the annual financial statements, and all those incidents are referred to the internal investigation committee to pursue the root cause and to identify specific officials that may be responsible, and then followed through with consequence management. And I just made the comment that one of the reasons I just had to quickly leave the meeting, we were in consultation with the state attorney on exactly one of these fruitless and wasteful cases that we are following through. The second one is on all the observations that came back from the site monitoring. Those observations fall in different categories. There are just poor workmanship issues. Those things are followed up from a contract administration point of view. A contractor must be instructed to fix all of those things, and no payment should be made for poor workmanship. There are also design issues that we pick up. There were incidents where the designers, for whatever reason, did not put the details into the design for specifically for access for disabled people, for ramps and in terms of the balustrades or handrails to protect them. So those then become variation orders. It gets issued and must be implemented. The other questions dealt with the pit toilets. I think we just need to differentiate between what we call a basic pit toilet, which is those old horrible ones with a hole in the ground, and those are really bad. Let's refer to a basic pit toilet. Now, in 2018, there was an assessment made of schools that are dependent on those basic pit toilets, and that became the SAFE program. So where we are at the moment is that original list of schools identified part of SAFE. We are aiming to wrap up all of them in this financial year. During the course of last year, we picked up some more schools that were not part of that list. So just over 600 additional schools were added to that list. Those additional schools will not be wrapped up in this year. Some of them will be done before March, but some of them will stand over to next year. So when we get to the end of next year, we will have dealt with all those schools dependent on basic pit toilets that we are aware of. If we then deal with just pit toilets in general, what we are building in many instances are what is called a VIP or a ventilated improved pit toilet. It is sort of the international standard for dry sanitation. Low maintenance, functioning properly, if constructed well, can last for many years. So if we say, when are we going to have no schools with pit toilets, I don't think in my lifetime. I think there will be lots of schools that will operate on these proper VIPs, and it is the appropriate one. Because in many cases, we don't have a sustainable water supply, so you cannot have all the schools connected to flush toilets. The question about the Eskom grid, I think we all feel like that. I think we all feel, when can all of us be disconnected from the Eskom grid? I think what we need is a very focused approach to address the whole energy issue. In general, the electricity supply is a municipal function. So it is, first of all, a failure from the municipality to provide the grid. In many of our schools, we don't have connectivity, and then it is from the bulk supplier. So I think based on the current circumstances, it's one of the issues that we need to reconsider and to make that a priority to think of alternative energy sources there. There are many schools in the rural areas where we have, for instance, boreholes that are powered through wind turbines, and then we also have schools powered with solar panels, and in some instances we have what we call a hybrid system where there's a wind turbine and a solar panel to assist with power supply. But that is typically for water supply. At the moment, we don't have a big drive in making the schools and all the lighting in the schools independent from Eskom. So I think that is a good proposal from the committee. That is something that we must consider. Thanks, Chair. Those are the four questions that I think relates to me.
Thank you so much, DDG. Can we, through your permission, Chair, that I facilitate this process of responses. DG, I see your hand is up.
Yes, DM. Good morning still. Can you hear me, DM?
We hear you loud and clear.
Chair, I need to profusely apologize. I'm just showing my face. I'm in the car. I'm on the field working. Just to indicate that I was ready for this meeting, and I even moved from the villages to Thom or the town, and the connectivity was not good. I went to make clear a town that doesn't experience load shedding, I'm told. And that's how I sort of came to survive. My profuse apologies for that, but I really prepared and said to the team, I'll be part of the meeting. I'm not going to go to the field, but wait for the meeting. But my devices really failed me this morning. Just 2 points to comment on DM. And I could hear what was going on in the meeting, but I couldn't respond to some of the issues that were raised. My sense is that the questions that were asked by both the Chair and Honorable Christian, which I had the opportunity to listen to, colleagues have responded to them. I'll just contribute to the 2 points that Mr. Van der Westhuizen has already responded to. Honorable Christian wanted to know about my observations in going to provinces. I have been focusing on three provinces, visiting them every week, simply because we are implementing in the main the SAFE program in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and KZN, where the backlog of inappropriate structure has been. And as Mr. van der Westhuizen has indicated, by the end of this financial year, we think that what was identified as the backlog, both our CD and SAFE program, it would be behind us. It would be part of our history. I must then indicate that for the education infrastructure grant, which Honorable Christian was very specific about, the monitoring is done by a team led by Mr. Mafuku. And that team reports to both our weekly meetings, which I chair, and the weekly meetings that is chaired by the deputy minister, attended by the minister there. And we look at the weaknesses across all the nine provinces. If we were to talk about spending of all the grants, there is weaknesses in planning and the execution of the plans in all the nine provinces, all nine of them. A case in point is the conditional grant for learners with profound and intellectual disabilities. All nine provinces are underperforming in those grants. I meet with them virtually every month to provide remedies to problems of planning and execution. There is much improvement. We started from towards the end of last financial year, which was in February. And then there's been a tremendous improvement. But in this grant that I have mentioned, if you check the performance of all the nine provinces, they are still underperforming in that grant. And we discuss with them. Teams go out also to go and look at reworking, strengthening their plans to make sure that they are improved. The other problem is our capacity in the built environment broadly. We mainly in the basic education sector use what we call implementing agents. There are about 10 of them. Implementing agents, we talk about IDT, we talk about DBSA, we talk about KUGA, and now Mvula Trust, NECT, and other provincial departments of public works that are also implementing agents. The Free State Department of Education has been the only education department so far that has been our implementing agent as well. So there are weaknesses of capacity also within implementing agents. The minister has instructed that we must look at the possibility of even replenishing the existing capacity, which means we now have to consider going on an advertisement to look for additional implementing agents who can help us to deliver some of the projects. And some of these implementing agents, for instance, were even allocated projects 10 years ago. IDT is one of them. They are still battling to finish those projects which were allocated 10 years ago. Whether you come to DBE in terms of a CD, or you go to provincial education department, because we use the same implementing agents. So that's what we are looking at. The minister's instruction is very clear. Replenish the capacity of the implementing agents because they are failing us as well. And maybe the last point also that I want to make, Deputy Minister and Honorable Chair, is to thank the Chair of the Portfolio Committee and Honorable Members for the oversight that they play on the department and thereby ourselves in terms of the work that they do. The improvements that we make are in the main attributable to that pressure and thank the leadership of the deputy minister and the minister. In my entire career of the public service, it's very rare that you find public representatives, executive authorities, and messing themselves in matters operational, holding weekly meetings where there are weaknesses and hold officials accountable. And the improvements that we have made are in the main attributable to that. But also, as the chair acknowledged and appreciated, the finance and the infrastructure team have really come to the party this financial year. The CFO, the head of infrastructure, they've been working extremely hard to make sure that we improve our audit profile. And we remain steadfast in our quest to realize the directive that the minister issued of a clean audit report, which is an audit report without any matter, whether it's matter of emphasis or any other matter, or matters that relate to issues that are of non-compliance or even material irregularity. I want to thank the leadership of the portfolio committee as well as the leadership of the ministry in getting us to improve. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you, DG. There are issues that are still remaining, issues on school nutrition, teacher development. Mr. Faker, are you still in the meeting? You can just come in on teacher development issues.
Thank you.
Yes.
Deputy Minister, good afternoon, everybody. We had a question with regard to actually our school evaluation, but Ms. Kerimula will actually answer in that regard. Thank you. Habib.
Thank you, Mr. Sadisi, on school nutrition.
Chair, Deputy Minister, I think I need to respond to one question.
Okay.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. The question that was raised on the monitoring of school evaluations that were undertaken in 6 provinces, I think the question was how many school, which provinces are these? These were Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Gauteng. And in terms of our operational plan, we had those 6 provinces targeted for the financial year. The remaining 3 provinces obviously have been taken forward, scheduled for the following year. And the impact of that and why remote, obviously our the reason we did it remote was the COVID-19 environment still prevailed in 2020. And we had to, and because of certain restrictions in provinces, we had to undertake this form of monitoring, which took the form of emails, telephone calls, and also follow-up meetings via MS Teams. And subsequently, you find that based on our findings, we undertook further training of these particular provinces. So the impact was there because we were able to receive all the documents and evidence that were required from provinces, which were submitted to us virtually. And we have, obviously, in going forward, we are not sustaining the remote monitoring as such. We are now embarked on a hybrid method. So where we visit provinces, and also where necessary, we request documentation and follow-up meetings, which are done via MS Teams and other methods, and telephonic calls, etc. So that is our response to the question that was raised by one of the honourable members. I think the honourable member from Northern Cape. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Ms. Newo Sediti, my apologies, I said Mr. Ms. Newo Sediti on National School Nutrition. Yes.
Yes, thank you, DM, and good afternoon. It's now good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and colleagues. Yes, on the NSNP, on the National School Nutrition Program, I actually want to welcome the proposal that was made put forward by Honorable Christian, and really thank her for that. And it actually reminded me of a project that we did with the Gauteng Department of Education when I had been one of the officials there at the time, where we recruited the graduates from the TUT. to actually monitor the program. And we entered into a partnership with the TUT for the learners from the hospitality department to do their community service. So it reminded me of that project. But at the moment, we do not have a full you know, partnership with higher education or any TVET colleges. But we do have a small project with the University of Durban, where we have partnered also on a very small project where they are developing recipes that will speak to, you know, the menus and the available ingredients and the available food items that we have on the program. So it is something that can be considered, and it can be something that we can actually expand on, and I really welcome that proposal. And then on the adherence by 10 o'clock, all right, when we conceptualized this NSNP, or rather when we took over from the Department of Health many, many years ago, 2003, we actually conceptualized it to serve learners at 10 a.m. And the reason for that was that we had an assumption that the general assumption was that learners come to school hungry and they didn't have breakfast. So we really put it as a requirement for each and every school to make sure that we do have at least food for learners earlier in the curriculum than later. And of course, you are correct to say that, Honorable Ndongeni, to say that, you know, there are schools that are found wanting in terms of adherence to 10 o'clock. But the reasons may be there may be two reasons for that. One reason is that there are provinces that have already extended breakfast program fully from the grant, right? And therefore, in that case, then we have agreed with the provincial education department that if there is breakfast at the school, then they can move the 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, right? So then there is at least sustenance in terms of the food they may have had for breakfast. Then it can actually be shifted to a later time. But then the second reason, which is one of our Achilles heel, is that we have a problem, especially in secondary schools, with timetabling. And the timetable is determined by the, you will correct, the curriculum specialist will correct me here, but it's determined at the district level. So then we have also had, you know, instances where we get the explanation that the curriculum needs to cover certain time before the first break. And they have to cover certain areas of subjects before the first break. So that in itself has been, you know, a battle to and fro between ourselves, you know, the program officials as well as the curriculum specialists. And we have had those engagements even before. And I know that even in Mpumalanga, when I visited the province recently, they indicated that they have actually, you know, influenced the curriculum specialist to adhere to the 10 o'clock by way of consultation and engagement. And I think it is something that we thought we should share that best practice even with other provinces. So for that reason, I would say that the timetable, the adherence to 10 o'clock is either because of the breakfast or the timetable, especially in secondary schools. And then I wasn't sure whether I should respond to DM to number four, because it involves all other grants, to say that the approval of business plans, how do we anticipate, I think I've understood it that way, what is anticipated in terms of learner outcomes? If I speak specifically to NSNP, to the National Food Nutrition Program, I can safely say that the grant purpose is to enhance teaching and learning, is to allow opportunity for learners to access education. That was the basis from which the grant was conceived. And therefore, we believe that the National School Nutrition does contribute to educational outcomes. And we are therefore even saying that we know that it is not only the MSNP, but many other, a myriad of other reasons, as we all know, that we're contributing towards educational outcomes. And I just wanted to emphasize the, you know, from the MSNP, the mantra that we have is that you cannot feed, you cannot teach a hungry child. And it is out of that basis that we believe that we are making a contribution, and therefore learners are able to attend school. We are able, there are spin-offs of punctuality, especially when it comes to a program where there is school breakfast in the in that particular school. And we therefore working, we are working in progression actually to make sure that we also adhere to our, we actually implement our 5-year strategy to ensure that, that we would have breakfast within the next 5 years. So we are working on that. And thank you very much, DM, for the opportunity. And thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much. There's one on the partially achieved and the non-achieved. I don't know if the Lille, Carol and
DM, you are not audible. Your line is getting really bad.
The two of you, you must share on these ones. I have the questions, but I want you to respond. Let's start with Ms. Nukratili.
Thank you, M, and through you, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, the issue in relation to partial and non-achievement was
The partially and the non.
Jim, no, your line is very, very poor. It's very bad.
Carol, come in.
Thank you, DM. I'm sorry, there was a delay. And I started speaking and spoke over you. Apologies. through you, Honorable Chairperson, we had indicated, as we normally do, not just where we've excelled, but also the areas where we've used this opportunity on the annual reporting.
The mic is open.
Oh, no. Am I the only one who can hear this? Or
my apologies, I don't know what's happening.
Can you maybe move to the next person because we cannot hear the madam?
Yeah. But now you can hear me on this one.
No, I hear you very well. You had problems earlier.
Okay. Yeah, I think even Carol has challenges of connectivity. Oh my God. But if I can try to respond on that one.
It was around the issue of general education certificate. Remember, we were piloting, and we thought that the pilot would be done by 2021, 22, and it couldn't. I think we're too ambitious, but now we came and corrected it that the full-blown general education certificate will be implemented in 2024-25. I think at that time we'll be, our systems will be ready. Then another one was on the ICASA network. We planned, believing that the mobile network operators are going to do the work for us, because they normally go to school and hand over the gadgets and do connections, etc. But we said we want to start with learners with special needs. That is the priority of our minister. So minister gave them that direction. So we put it on our APP, believing that our partners will come in. So now, to correct it, we are putting a budget. We have put a budget from our side, not to rely on outside a provider. On the PELS and SACMEC chair, due to COVID, the study was postponed, yet it was there on our APP. So now it's going to be presented in December 2022, because it's outside our scope, because these are international benchmarks. It's not necessarily on basic education. Then there was a question on the school improvement support coordinators as to how are we going to make sure that now on the data collection challenges we have, we're going to win. We are going to monitor the improvement support coordinators that have been sent to all the provinces and districts. So we are going to monitor them to make sure that this time the data is collected throughout the province. I think I've covered. Then there was a question on the school nutrition, which I think Neo did not cover, on our relationship with higher education. So it's a good thing. That's why the DG thanked the select committee, and he kept on making a mistake, Chair, and our sincere apologies, to refer to the select committee as the portfolio committee. Yes, our sincere apologies. We respect this house, and we know that we account to you as a select committee on basic education, sports and culture, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to really apologize for that. But as I indicated, that we are working my system muted. Yes, we really appreciate the good point about those students that are doing hospitality in higher education, that we must involve them in the school nutrition of the children. We are going to work with higher education and check the possibility and the feasibility of working with us. Yeah, I think the other one Neo did cover on the late eating. At some stage, it even became an audit query by Auditor General. When they went to our schools, we said we are feeding our children at 9:45. They arrived there. There's no food given to our children. Yet they were given food, but not at the time that we stipulated. But we're working with our schools and provinces to make sure that when the policy says this, let's try to stick to the policy. I think, we have responded. Thank you very much. And there's one other thing maybe which I am supposed to have indicated earlier on. In the department, when we came to you to present on the Bella Bill, it was presented by Advocate Misa and Advocate Lidwaba. So as the department, we have lost Advocate Lidwaba. He is no more, and today is his memorial service. Is going to be laid to rest on Saturday. Thank you so much, Chair.
Sorry to hear about that, that the person we were with not long time ago has has since departed this earth, our sympathies. And I, so this, I'm representing the committee properly in doing. It's so sad when we lose one of our own. Honourable members, are there further questions that members would like to make a follow-up on? I'm worried about this thing as a person who comes from Limpopo. The performance of our provinces, it hasn't been doing very well. We were number last, I think, twice. I just want to check, what is the impact of this Cisco program in Limpopo? Is it well received? Is there resistance to this intervention? Because some people sometimes will say, why bring people from another province to come into our province? And find that there's some sort of resistance. And that if they were well received, what is the impact of their intervention in the whole management of the school and the whole educational fireworks? Is there an improvement? Is there light in the tunnel? Yeah. Honourable members, do you have other follow-up questions that you'd like to make for a second bite? Any other further questions from the members? All right. Dear, maybe we may deal with this Cisco, not only limiting it to Limpopo, but just generally, nationally. What impact is it making? Is it worth having these interventions by Cisco? Or is it just a nice thing to have? Over to you.
Chairperson, thank you very much for this question. Remember, we have the national interventions by the Department of Basic Education, and also provinces have their own tailor-made interventions because ours are broad. They cover all learners and also the progress learners. But in the province, they know they are progress learners. They know the circuits which are not doing well. So to be precise, when coming to Limpopo, Limpopo generally is doing very well. We have a challenge with two districts. The Sekhukhune districts are not doing well. We went there as a team of basic education. The deputy minister and the minister went there to support the two districts that are not, they're not doing well at all. And it's so painful that these two districts are the ones that used to produce stars in the past. But now they've just gone down. So we were working with them and they promised us, we even monitored their June performance as well as the trial examination. We see some form of improvement. And they also had their own improvements. When we went there, sometimes we go there, it's towards the writing of the trial exam. They say, we are still two. So I can't be still two this time. Tell us how did you implement the program? But we are working closely with Limpopo province and the two districts of Sekhukhune, where the chairperson is coming from. They are not doing well, and we are supporting them. I even personally adopted Sekhukhune East. Minister has adopted Sekhukhune West. So we are working closely with them. We want to see them coming because they bring the average of the province down when other districts like Yovembe, Capricorn, etc. are doing well. But when you bring it to the mean, then Sekhukhune takes them down. Even in the national, out of the 75 districts, their performance is number 74 and 75 when coming to grade 12 results. So we met with all principals, we met with the circuit managers, and it's a continuous work that we are doing. And we dispatch subject advisors to go and support them. Thank you, Chair.
in the absence of further hands. GM, I'll give you a chance to say something before your team leaves so that we can remain in the meeting dealing with other committee matters. But from me, thank you very much for being part of this meeting, as you usually do. And the manner in which the questions were answered, we are really giving more details. We got more than what we bargained for. As usual, it always ends up that way. Thank you very much. You could be released after the GM has given her comments so that the committee can continue with other matters. Over to you, GM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. To join what the DG has said, I want to thank the Select Committee. Really, you are doing a good work because you are the mouth, the ears, and the hands of the department. Things that may not come to our attention, they do come to your attention. That's why most of the time when you come to the Select Committee, you come up with specific issues that at this school, in this province, this is what is happening. Then we are able to send our teams to go to that school. On issues of pit latrines, on issues of dilapidated infrastructure, you come on handy. We always take your comments in a positive manner, no matter how they are maybe displayed. We never took anything negative because it helps us. We can't be everywhere. So as I indicated when we started with the meeting, that this is probably our last formal meeting of the year. Want to wish all members of the committee well during the festive season that is coming, but we promise also that we are going to monitor the examination that is going to end on the 6th of December. Then the 7th of December is dedicated to write those questions that to accommodate those learners who might have missed some papers, like it happened. Some were even hospitalized. On the day they're supposed to write English, they were taken to hospital. Some are broken arms. Some, you know, there are those things that will happen. They were waiting for the start of the examination, then they happen. Mm-hmm. But we have set time aside in the papers to accommodate those learners. They will never be disadvantaged. Those that may not write on the 7th, they will then write in May, June examination. So when that examination comes. But I want to sincerely thank you as a department and be well during the festive season. We are looking forward to be with you, Chair, on the announcement of the results on the 19th of January, 2023, by the grace of God, of course. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, DM. Thank you very much. Your team can be released. Honourable members, we are going to the second part of the meeting. We have a set of minutes to lead into. Can you slide the minutes, please? Yeah, the minutes. Page one, just go to page two. And page three. Yeah. We have had this minute for quite some time. Honourable members, are there issues that comment on this minute or corrections? Are there corrections and or additions? If not, is there any move for adoption of this minute?
Chair?
Yes.
Oisindongene, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
And Dongene moves, any second?
I second, Chair, Honorable Kosi.
Selim Kosi, second. Is there any other, do we have another 12 minutes or something? This is the only minute. Yes, that's the minute of the... first-term program. ITIS members, any questions on this? That's our program, October to December. Any mover for adoption?
I move for the adoption. Thank you.
Honorable Ngozi, move any second.
Christian second, Chairperson.
Honorable Christian second.
Do we have something? Is there any other matter?
Chairperson, as per the program, I think we have done with all the items.
Any other matter, Lillian?
Chairperson, from the agenda, we have done with all the items, Chairperson. Thank you.
Hey.
Chair.
Hello.
We have done.
Am I audible? My line is getting bad.
Yes, you are audible.
Okay. Is there any other matter?
No, Chair.
If there is none, let me thank all of you for having been part of this meeting. Thank you. Thank you very much for the committee secretary for helping in the absence of Meskaka. Thank you. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
We have another meeting now.